And welcome back to the Learn to Code podcast. Today we are going to be educational and probably philosophical. I want to talk about the dark realities of self-taught programming and self-taught developers. As myself, I consider myself a self-taught programmer. That means that, many people actually confuse the term because it's a little bit made up in the sense that some people believe that self-taught programmers don't really exist because nobody can actually teach himself or herself programming out of thin air. And this is obvious. The argument is that you can find a book and the author of the book is your teacher. You may buy a course and whoever the author of that course or video course is or whoever is imparting the topic, he or she is the teacher. So you are not actually a self-taught anything. In the classical sense, well, we are not really self-taught. Most likely, we either find a book, YouTube videos, library documentation, or programming languages documentation, or even blogs. So we are learning from somebody else's material. But that argument is falling flat really fast because of the fact that we don't have either a remote or an in-presence person giving us the material already digested and interacting with the student in the sense that, well, buying a course, well, you had the first part there, you know, the material is already selected for you or for a client in this case, because they don't know you in particular. They are building the course for someone in mind, okay? And people that create video courses, especially in Udemy and Pluralsight and LinkedIn Learning and Coursera and whatever else, they build these courses trying to appeal to a broad range of people. You buy a course or subscribe to a lecture, you receive the information, but you are not actually there making questions or clarifying doubtful material. For example, it's not a mystery that I've been learning Informatica from really old courses. And my main source right now is a Udemy course that was originally three different courses on Packer. That's another website that sells books, I think. And the thing is that although the courses seems like it's covering the basics of Informatica in this case, the reality is that when I'm trying the exercises myself, then I get to fail. And even if you are following the instructions to the letter, you are sometimes, or maybe you are guaranteed to fail, who knows. But sometimes when a course is not explaining all you need to execute the exercises, for example, in this Informatica course, the entire course is basically creating this thing called mappings, which is basically a graphical representation of metadata about your process, about your ETL process. This is a strat, transform, and load data into some from one point to another point, let's say a database, a flat file, whatever. Well, the teacher, for most of the course, is just working with flat files. And I found that suspicious, to say the least, because most people would like to use Informatica for working with databases mainly, not really with flat files, as maybe as source, data sources maybe, but for targets for the data, I think everybody is going to be hoping to get that data inside a database table. And the course didn't really engage into that. The concepts were teaching by, basically we were just working with flat files, text files basically. And I think, as I said before, that was suspicious to me. Another thing is that from section 2 onward, he doesn't execute the mappings, so basically the programs or the designs. He doesn't run them, and I got really suspicious about that. So I guess he's just teaching us this thing called transformation, that's the subject for the session. But if I'm learning something and I don't see the teacher executing the actual example or the exercise, then I'm going to be getting very suspicious. And I was right about that because I watched section 1 and 2 of the course by myself without executing Informatica ever. Not because I didn't want to do it that way, but because Informatica proved itself to be really hard to install and configure properly. And the teacher of the course just presumes that we already know what we need to install Informatica. In this case, an Oracle database, but not just any Oracle database. It seems like the Informatica version is not compatible with current versions of Oracle XE. In this case, it's the database engine that is being used. Informatica turns out to be incompatible, or maybe I did something really wrong and I was not able to connect to a PostgreSQL database. Although everything seems to be just fine, the truth is that when I tried to import data, well, the mappings didn't really work. And a lot of the mappings and configurations in order to run the mappings were not explained. And I got to figure that out across 2 weeks of troubleshooting the entire thing. And thankfully, I managed to find really old YouTube videos, and we are talking about 10 to 12 years ago, really old videos. And practically Hindi IT guys were working with Informatica back then, and they created their own tutorial to share among themselves. So I was using those really old videos in order to get up to speed with Informatica. And it became, when by the time I was able to move data from one table to the next to another using Informatica, it came to me really quickly why the teacher didn't actually show us how to execute that in a database table. It's because he could not. I guess that somebody else configures Informatica for him, and he's just drawing maps and designing maps, and maybe he doesn't even run them. Although he claims to have around 10 years of experience by the time he created the video course. Well, the truth is that those years might be for just creating maps, because he explained very well how to create the maps and how to use transformations. But the thing is that I got really suspicious about it, because my guess is that I do believe that he does actually have the experience. What I think is that he's lacking the technical knowledge to install Informatica properly, and by that effect, he's not able to share information that he does not have with his students. So I've been troubleshooting Informatica, and this long story has a very simple moral. Being self-taught is a lot of work, because even if you buy a course, you don't really know what you are going to get, especially in Udemy. There is a lot of crappy courses in Udemy. Udemy Marketplace is filled with a lot of filler. Many of those courses they don't really deserve the money. Most of them will compare them to just tutorials. But having said that, the ones that are on the top, most of the time, and I say this in a, and I say most of the time, not just all the time, most of the time, the courses that are on the top are of the highest quality, and the teachers are actually teaching you something, you know. Probably the topics delivered and the catalog of the abilities that they are trying to teach you maybe is not too deep or too varied, but the teaching techniques used are very effective. I'd rather have a really good teacher that learns how to program, how to develop software, than having a developer and he's trying to learn how to be a teacher. Sharing information is my main priority here when I'm looking for a teacher or a course. So, and obviously, well, it has to be a balance, you know. But if I'm going to be working most of the time trying to decipher if Informatica is going to work out, if this software is going to work out, if the version I'm working on is still alive, if the course is not considering updates to its own libraries that it's trying to teach or anything else. Let's say that a library or a piece of software gets updated, and it may seem like a very simple update, but most of the time, especially in programming languages and frameworks, one of those updates may invalidate entire videos. So the most elegant way to handle that as an author is to basically, you know what, maybe I'm not going to re-record this because that may require me to break the cadence of the course, or even worse, the update may require me to re-record this entire course and replace every single video maybe, and that may not be optimal. In that account, I will choose to just create a new course for the new version of whatever I'm teaching and sell that on the side as the new version of the course. You know, I will do that if I'm required to replace a lot of most of my course basically. But if a library gets updated, and what you can do as an author is basically create a note before the actual video plays and explain in detail the actual difference or differences that you are going to find between what in reality the student is going to find out and what you are showing on the video. An example of this could be, you know what, in the video that is about to play next, I'm describing that this object is called so-and-so. But on the new version update, this object actually has been renamed to this, or is taking a new parameter with this, like this, or is removing a parameter, or now it's being called like this. And a simple text note before the video is more than enough to comply with this, and you can basically help your students get through that without the frustration. So what I'm trying to say, let's get back to the main topic of the episode, is basically being self-taught is a lot of work because you have to pay the price of figuring out. And what do I mean by this? Well, when you have a teacher with experience and he sees you struggle with something, and that's something that you are struggling with, it's something that he has actual experience to, let's say, okay, so this guy is getting stuck in Informatica. His workflow is actually running successfully, but he's not seeing any data going inside the table. So what's going on? Well, that happened to me once, and I checked this out first, and you can quickly fix this with that, you know, something like that. And for me, I don't have that as a self-taught developer, you know, and that's what I call the time to figure things out. And I can take a long time to figure things out by myself. One, because maybe the issue is not presented very often, which in effect makes, as a consequence, it makes that using Google to search about it may not even drop a single answer to the question. Another thing is figuring out not just the answer, but it's basically how to figure out how to ask the question or how to make the question correctly. An example of this would be, let's say that you want to create a website and you are taking this HTML, CSS course, and maybe some JavaScript, you know, and you actually get to the point, you get invested into the course, you are pretty much at 70% progress on the course with examples, with exercises, and you are basically planning on your head how to create this empire of building websites with just CSS, JavaScript, not Node, just JavaScript and HTML, obviously. And some people may think that that's stupid. You really need to learn many, many, many more things in order to do that. But here's the thing. As a self-taught developer, you just don't know what you don't know. So you're learning something and you are seeing results. You are building this beautiful website in your eyes. And then you learn, you get to the chapter and you learn how to create forms, for example, HTML forms. And you begin building this form. Oh, you know what? I want people to pay me via credit card. So I'm going to create this beautiful form and I'm going to ask for their credit card number, Visa or MasterCard, their special number. And you build this beautiful form. But the truth is that you get to the part on JavaScript where you are asking, or you are building this form and you say, okay, so how do I learn how to build a form for credit cards, you know, and for asking for credit card number information and information. And you Google about it, you find some examples how to do the front end side. But most of the time, the back end side is a really big black box that the author of the course is not willing to teach you right now, because if he does acknowledge the existence of that really big black box that he doesn't want to talk about, then he's afraid that he's going to lose his student to the actual fear and realization that the amount of knowledge that they are actually getting from the course is very minuscule compared to what they want to achieve. For example, you know what? I want to teach myself, I want to learn on my own how to create mobile apps, just like that. And then you figure out in the future that while you are learning some examples on whatever technology you choose, because you are just Googling, and the first thing that comes up or is more popular is going to be the one that you choose. So for the sake of argument, let's say it's Dart, for example, or Flutter. Let's say Flutter. So you begin learning Flutter. So you begin looking for courses, for books, for blogs, for videos, for YouTube videos. And you find some resources. You need to gather all those resources and make sense of them. And basically, these resources come from several authors, and you need to make sense of all of it. That's the cost of figuring out. The cost of figuring out is not just Googling about the subject you want to learn and just reading everything and you magically just get there. That doesn't happen for regular people. And I really doubt that really smart people actually do that, because I haven't seen them train. And I think that just happens for anime characters. I don't think that you can just buy a book and read it once and then you magically are a calculus expert. I don't think so. Without experiencing arithmetic or algebra. So I don't know. I think that many self-taught developers do have a lot of areas of opportunity, because we don't really know what to look for. That's the truth, you know. Up until we get either on a job and they are asking us to actually complete a product, then we realize where we are really lacking. And that's the cause of figuring out. So in my years of self-taught learning, especially programming and databases, well, I had reached the conclusion that we are self-taught, even if we buy a course that apparently is just serving us everything on a plate, because that doesn't really happen ever. You need to figure things out on your own, because video courses get old. Even if you read that they are 2022 or current year course, be a master bootcamper, yet subscribe to this course and yet become a full-stack web developer or something like that, you know, in 2022 or 2023 or whatever the year is. Whatever the current year is, more likely than not, the author is going to put that as a stamp on the course name. And the course may be recorded by 10 years ago, you know, and sometimes this information comes through because on the screencast software that they use, or maybe they run a command on the terminal, and sometimes the timestamp of the computer just shows up. And this video course that you are guessing comes from has been recorded recently on 2022 because it's on the name of the course, then you realize, well, this course is really from 2016, you know? And that's a rude awakening. So you now have to figure things out on your own in the case that the software updates that didn't exist back then now do exist. A lot of times they do exist. And some things that are shown on the videos no longer were as intended, you know? Updates happen all the time in software. And sadly, video courses don't really update that much, you know? This is an issue that could be solved re-recording a new course with a new version. But then the author say, well, I already teaching those same basics. I don't think it's going to justify re-recording the entire course just because some techies decide to update a library, you know. And maybe they're right, you know. That's a possibility too. But even for marketing purposes, re-recording a course should not be that hard. And the advantages are really big. Because one, you already know the material, you already did it once, and you don't really need to change much to begin with. But if you re-record your course with the current technologies, one, you're going to be giving value to the updated technologies that are lying around. And you may think as an author, well, it's not really worth it. But if you actually do, when people learn about your new course, yes, the old course is going to get abandoned. It's not going to be as promoted as it shall be. But the new one is going to grow anew again, you know? And I believe that most authors are afraid of losing their big sales courses that have been giving them money for years, and that's understandable. But maybe I should practice what I'm praising, and maybe I should create my first course and try it out by myself, you know? And maybe by the time the course is out, maybe it's outdated, who knows? Maybe I need to re-record everything, but who knows? I may like to experience that once in my lifetime. If I learned something when my wife passed away this year, is that she went down with regret. I do recall that. So she wanted to do simple things like going to the beach, and we just went once and we never came back. So for me, creating a course or writing a book is like going to the beach for my wife. It's one of those things that seems very simple for many people, but I want to do it at least once just to know how it feels. And maybe that's it. Maybe I just need to experience that out by myself, and then I can open my mouth and share whatever I think you should do with your courses. You know? But anyway, being a self-taught developer is hard work. You need to think that, well, being a self-taught developer is easy. Just buy a course, choose the best course ever. And it's easy because just pick up the one with the most sales, the most student reviews, and basically the favorite on whatever platform you're on. And sometimes that makes sense. Other times you're going to realize that even those super courses, they are just giving you an overview of whatever skill you're trying to develop. Most people enter these courses believing that they are going to be building the next Facebook or the next TikTok, let's say. They are expecting to build the next Tinder, a better version of Instagram, something like that. And the truth is that these projects are, one, passion projects. They are made by people that really believe in what they are building. And second, they are built by entire teams of hundreds of people sometimes. So it's not just you writing code all day long and leaving graphical design as an afterthought and maybe just publishing that. That doesn't really happen. It's very rare that single developers actually get a hit. And when that happens, everybody wants a piece of the cake, you know. Why pay hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to entire companies to develop a piece of software that doesn't really give us anything in return, like investment. When some guy in a shack in Russia can build a video game in half an hour and earn millions of dollars, you know. Well, that's the dream that they are trying to sell to you, because programming is really hard work. It's hard work, and that's just the job itself, let alone learning the job, learning how to program correctly, learning how to develop things correctly, because everybody can figure things out on the way, you know, make things work and patch things around, you know. But the truth is that if you are not disciplined enough to learn the proper way to do things, that's going to bite you in the future. Why? Because whatever you're lacking in your learning process, whatever you skipped because you didn't know it existed, that's something that exists for a reason. And when that reason reaches you, then you're going to be asking, okay, so how am I supposed to get data from this table that is related to another table? And now you understand joins, but how do I update this view or whatever, you know? So small questions like that are never covered on these so-called courses and boot camps, because they don't think that people is going to get that that far. So most boot camps are made for people that don't really know anything, and or they know very little, and just to keep this illusion of progress going on, because in reality, learning to code is a really hard thing to do successfully. And I haven't done it successfully in a long time, and I keep trying. In the sense that I myself am not able to create an entire project on my own that I can sell for millions of dollars. That's what I mean. But I can focus enough of my time to do one task, maybe two, really good. Maybe domain SQL in my case. Maybe learn a programming language and combine that with web development and with databases. And then my value increases really, really great, no? You know? But well, anyway, learning by your own is hard work. There is the cost of figuring things out is high. And don't expect any course or all of the courses to, you can be watching courses, but what you need is to practice. Never watch a course without practicing, because you are going to feel confident that you already know everything, and a day passes, 2 days passes, and you already forgot everything because you don't have actual experience doing the thing. You just watch something. Let's put it this way. Programming is really a physical activity. It's not really that mental. In the case that we are not really discovering new algorithms, a lot of the time we are just implementing stuff. And we are asking around what to implement. And when we know what to implement, we look for implementation of that thing. So really, we are not becoming these erudites of algorithms and mathematics. That's not the case, really. It's more like a trait, more than a profession. I think that programming is a trait. And we treat it like that, you know. We are not looking for the best programmer. We are just looking for a programmer that can fulfill this role with these technologies, and that's it. We don't even know names of the top programmers in the industry. When people come around saying, you know what, maybe John Carmack, okay, that's fine. Who else? And then the silence. You know, I think John Carmack is still working. I don't know. I'm not sure. He was on Oculus years ago, but I don't know what he's doing right now. I wonder if he's actually coding anymore. I don't think so. Who knows? Maybe he does. But anyway, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit. I'm using my new SM7B microphone with a Coda Stealth Activator. And I am still learning how to use it. It's not as simple as I believe it was going to be. But I'm getting the hang of it. I think that recording episodes every single weekday is going to help me a lot. But yeah, I think. And I'm planning on recording other podcasts in Spanish, because I may like to think about something else, you know, not just programming. My entire life has been, I've been spending my entire life sitting in front of the computer, either playing video games or programming or working for somebody else, you know. So maybe I may like to reconsider, you know, going out, touch some grass. Maybe that's going to help me out. And I am still mourning my late wife's death, you know. So, well, that's it. Tomorrow I'm going to be in a meeting early in the morning, but not too early. So I'm planning on recording more podcasts in the morning, studying, because I need to study and prepare myself for the meeting. So I'm going to be recording podcasts tomorrow morning. I don't think I'm going to be recording Learn to Code, but I want to try out new projects. I have the gear, and I think I am over-prepared for that, I think. I don't want to find success in a sense of numbers, but talking is helping me a lot right now. So thank you for listening, if you indeed are, and see you tomorrow.